All right, so we're looking, we're not going to look at lesson number three, so you can read that on your own, because I have something different for you today. So again, lesson number three, talking about God loves the world. I think all of us understand that. You know, there's a real heaven, there's a real hell. So you can kind of go through and read that yourself this week, okay? So read that yourself this week. How many of you did your homework? You did your homework? What was your homework? Write out your testimony. Very good. All right. Sounds like a lot of you did that. That's great. Very good. Okay. And we'll get to that in just a minute. Okay. What does the gospel mean? What does the gospel mean? What? The good news, right? The gospel means the good news. Okay. And I heard a man say this one time, the good news is not good news if you don't hear it. How is it good news if nobody ever tells it to you? Right? And we understand that's what the gospel means. The gospel means good news, right? And that's why we're to be telling people the gospel message, the good news, okay? Because if we don't tell them, they're never going to know what the good news is. And what are we telling them in the gospel message when we share our testimony, we try to share Christ with them? What we are telling them is simply how Jesus Christ changed our life, right? Again, we talked a little bit about this last week. There are three parts kind of to your testimony, right? What are the three parts to your testimony? First part is what? My life before Christ, when I was lost, right? What's the second part? What's that? How I came to know Christ. And then the third part?
My life after salvation.
My life now, right? What God's doing in my life now, okay? So those are the three parts. And so in sharing the gospel and sharing Jesus Christ with other people, that's all we're really doing, is we're simply telling them how Jesus Christ changed my life, okay? And some people have this idea, well, unless my testimony is like the maniac of Gadara, you know, some maniac out of his mind, you know, and full of demons, and then all of a sudden Jesus comes along and Jesus casts the demons out and this man believes in Jesus. Man, if I don't have a testimony like that, well, then I just don't have a testimony. Well, wait a minute. Everybody in the Bible was the maniac of Gadara? No. Peter was a fisherman. John was a fisherman. Matthew was a tax collector. Luke was a physician, right? They all didn't have this, what we would think of, sometimes when we think of a testimony, we think, unless I've got a really powerful testimony, right? Like, you know, I was into drugs and alcohol, and I was part of the, you know, the biker gang and all this kind of stuff, and then Jesus saved me, and man, my life's totally changed. I mean, we just think, well, then I don't have a testimony. Wait a minute, no. Were you lost before you met Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Did you meet Christ?
Yes.
Did He change your life?
Yes.
Then you have a testimony, right? Don't think that you have to have some horrible, can I say, thank God you don't have that type of testimony.
Right.
Now, those that do, praise God, they got saved, right? But don't be like, boy, I wish I had that testimony. I wish I had that lifestyle. No, you don't, right? And that's why God saved them from that lifestyle, from that life they were in, okay? But it's simply telling others how Jesus Christ changed our life. So again, we know the command to go, right? The command, we're to go. The hardest thing about the Great Commission is what?
Going.
That's the hardest thing about the Great Commission, right? We know we're supposed to go. But the hardest thing about it is going. Because we make up any and every excuse why not to go, why not to share our faith with others, okay? Now, one of the easiest ways to be able to fulfill, we could say, the Great Commission in going, right? One of the easiest ways to do that is having a track, right? This is the easiest way, right? So what we're going to do is, I need you guys to figure out how, pass one, take one down, pass it around. Not pass it around, but take one down. Take one, pass it down, take one, pass it down. Everybody needs one. Everybody needs a track. If you've never had a track before in your hand, now you have, right? Everybody needs one. Everybody got one. Everybody got one? Wow, this was perfect. I get exactly the right amount, all right? Everybody got one here? All right. We got enough?
Plus one.
There we go. All right. Very good. Okay. So if you don't know, this is there are all different types of tracks. A track is simply a piece of paper. It could be like this. It could be a bifold. It could be a trifold, whatever. But a track is basically a way to give somebody the gospel or invite them to church if you don't have a lot of time, okay? Or even if you do have some time, you can always leave one with them, okay? But this is one of the easiest ways to be able to obey the Great Commission, right? And a lot of times people say, well, I just don't know what to say, right? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to practice on what to say, okay? All right, you ready? Hi. Man, you guys got it, right? I mean, that was hard, right? That was so difficult. Hi. Man, I'm telling you, you guys are picking this up pretty quick, right? Can I give you something? No, don't answer. Say it. Hi, can I give you something?
Of course.
Oh, man. Oh, my goodness. I had to go to Bible college to figure out how to do that. No, you don't have to go to Bible college to figure that out, right? You've got something in your hand, right? You've got a track. It could look like this. It could be one that says hope, or it could be something else. You say, hi, can I give you something? Tough, right? So everybody got one? So I want you to find a neighbor right next to you. You got one, two, three, four, five, six. All right, Levi, you enjoy. Sorry. Yep, I know. It's awkward, but you know. But anyway, one, two, three, four, five, six. All right, everybody needs to find somebody they can talk to, right? Everybody got somebody? Make sure you got, everybody needs a pair up, okay? I think, Leah, you're going to have to find somebody. You're going to have to find somebody, Leah. Everybody got one?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what I want you to do, right? The person on the right is person number one. The person on the left is person number two, okay? Right, you got that? So right is person number one. Left is person number two, right? So number one, who's number one? Raise your hand if you're number one. Some of you don't know which number you are. If you are on the right, your right. You're right. We're gonna have to go back to college and figure out what is right and left here, okay? All right. Everybody look at me right now. This is your right hand. This is your left hand, okay? There should be two of you. The one on the right is number one. The one on the left is number two, okay? You guys got to figure it out. So who is number one? Raise your hand if you're number one. Raise your hand if you're number one. Come on, let me see him. Everybody know who's number one? Okay, all right. Number one, you get to start, right? So here's what you're going to do. You're going to look at person number two, and you're going to say, hi, can I give you something? You ready? Go for it. All right. Number two, you don't have to say anything, right? You don't have to say anything. Number one is just saying, hi, can I give you something? Does everybody do it? Everybody do it? All right. Number two, you look at the person and say, hi, can I give you something? Okay, now see, here's the thing, right? See, here's the thing. It does not matter whether they say yes or no. It does not matter whether they take it or they refuse it. You have just obeyed what God said to do. That wasn't very hard, was it? That wasn't very hard. Hi, can I give you something? If they say no, they say no. What? You can't make them take it, right? If they say no, I don't want that, then okay, you keep it, right? If they say yes, they take it, man, there you go. You can read it, right? So again, we have this idea that we have to know everything that, about the Bible, and we have to know all the verses and everything. But if we'll just understand, it's simple enough that if we just have it, again, this is the easiest way to do it right here, right? Hi, can I give you something? Now, if you want to introduce yourself, you can say, hi, I'm Andrew. Can I give you something? Sure. You can tell them your name. It makes it a little bit more personal, right? You know, if you're at a gas station, right, you see somebody pumping gas, hey, can I give you something to read? You're standing in line in a grocery store, right? And there's somebody behind you, and you see, you know, whatever, you know, and you take it out of your pocket or your purse or whatever, you turn around and say, hi, can I give you something to read? It's not as hard as we make it out, right? So, again, this is the easiest way, okay? You can say something like, hey, can I give you an invitation to my church? If you want to say that, you can say, I can give you an invitation to my church. I mean, it does say on here, be our guest, right? Now, a lot of them may not say something like that, but you can say, hey, can I give you something to read? They might say, what is it? What is it? What would you tell them? If they say, what is it? What would you tell them? An invitation. This is an invitation to my church. You see, most of the time, what you're doing in just this simple thing is you're simply answering the questions that they ask. You say, hi, can I give you something? What is it? It's just an invitation to my church. What church? I go to First Baptist Church. You know that one up there by the McDonald's right there? Yeah, that's the church that I go to, right? We'd love to have you come. See, you have said what you need to say by simply answering their questions. So you don't have to say, I've got to have this whole thing memorized, you know, and everything. No, most of the time, it's just going to be, again, we're talking about the easiest way to do this is just to, hey, my name's Andrew. Can I give you something to read? Or, hey, I'd like to invite you to my church. What church you go to? First Baptist Church. They might say, I don't go to church. Leave me alone. Okay, have a nice day. You say, do you really say that? Yeah. Absolutely. I've had people cuss me out and everything. I'm like, have a good day. They've taken the tract, torn it up, thrown it in my face. Have a good day. You say, well, why do you say that? Because they're not rejecting me. They're not rejecting me. They're rejecting Christ. You say, they're rejecting Christ just by rejecting a tract? Yeah. Because by accepting that tract, on the back of it has the plan of salvation. They could be able to read to be saved. Or by accepting it, they could come to church. But here's the thing, and this is one thing we have to remember, right? Whether you are at a gas station or whether you're in a grocery store or somebody was telling me the other day, whenever we have like a yard sale or whatever at my house, we'll always have a stack of these. And when somebody comes in and they look around, even if they don't buy anything, well, they always make sure to give them one. Hey, can we give you one of these? No, it's free. Everybody likes something free at a yard sale, right? It's free, right? You don't have to pay for it. It's just an invitation to our church. We'd love to have you come. And so there are so many ways that just by taking something simple like this, a gospel tract, right? And again, there's a whole wall full of different kinds back there, right? It doesn't have to be this one. What I would definitely say, before you ever give one out to somebody, make sure you've read it. Yeah. You want to know what you're giving out, right? Right? Make sure you've actually read it and it's, you know, the appropriate thing. There's one that we have there. It says thank you on it. That's probably not appropriate. You're at a gas station. Here, thank you. For what? Right? Those are more for like when you're at a restaurant and there's a waiter or a waitress. You can leave your tip in there and it gives the gospel in there. That's a great way to leave a tract too. You have a waiter or waitress, right? By the way, can I say this? If you're going to leave a tract on the table, doesn't matter if it's one of the thank you ones or if it's one of the be our guest ones, whatever. If you're going to leave a tract on the table, I hope you've been nice to those people. Now, come on, think about it. Here you've just given them all kinds of crud, and then you're going to invite them to your church? You really think they're going to come? Or you give them a buck for a tip? I'm being serious. If you're going to leave a tip or if you're going to leave a track, I hope you left a good testimony first. And if you're going to leave a tip or something and with the track, make sure it's a decent tip. I'm not saying you got to leave them $50, right? But make sure it's at least a decent tip, okay? You don't want, those people at First Baptist, they gave me 50 cents for a tip. Man, what's wrong with those people, you know? I'll go there and they'll ask for my tithe, but they'll only give me 50 cents for a tip, you know? So again, you've got to be, again, this is why your testimony is important, okay? Your testimony is important. But here's the thing you've got to remember, whether you're door knocking when we go out on outreach, whether it's a person that you're, you know, just across the gas pump with or whatever. But especially like when you're door knocking, when you go out and we do outreach and we knock on somebody's door, the one thing you have to remember is you are an uninvited guest. Maybe not even a guest. You're just an uninvited person, right? Even when you're at a gas pump, right, and you're on the other side of the pump and they're there, when you go around that pump to give them the track, you are an uninvited person. When you're standing in the grocery line and there's somebody behind you or in front of you and you turn to give them or whatever, you are uninvited, okay? And again, so you know how you feel when somebody uninvited enters your space. You know how you feel when somebody uninvited knocks on your door, right? You know how you feel, okay? So think of that when you are being that uninvited person, when you're knocking on their door or when you're turning around or at the gas pump or whatever it is, okay? Remember, they didn't invite you to come and talk to them. You're the one starting the conversation with them, okay? So remember that and be respectful. Be kind, right? If you're on knocking on somebody's door and they ask you to leave, leave. Don't stand there and argue with them. That's rude. You're at their house. You've interrupted their time. If they say, hey, please leave, I'm not interested, leave. Don't just stand there and argue with them. You are uninvited, okay? Now, obviously, if they give you time or whatever, sure, talk to them, whatever. And that's why many times I tell people, especially when we go out on outreach, door knocking, or whether it's, at a gas pump or whatever, you don't have much time. And that's why the best thing you can do is have a track ready so that if you knock on somebody's door, they come to it. Hi, I'm Andrew from First Baptist Church. I'd like to give you an invitation to our church. So I have said exactly what I need to say. I've handed it to them. So if they say, no, thank you, they've already got it. And I'm turning around and walking away. I'm not going to take it back, right? They've got it. Now, what they do with it is up to them, right? Now, if they just simply refuse it, okay, fine. I'm not going to, if I try to hand it to them and they're just not going to take it, I'm like, you have to be respectful to people, right? Do you know why the JWs and the Mormons are so, I don't want to use the word hated, but they're so disliked by people? They're not respectful. They're not respectful to people, right? And that's why, especially as Christians, they are not, we are, right? As Christians, we ought to be respectful to people, right? So give them a track, and if they ask you to leave, leave, right? Again, you want them to have a good interaction with you, not a negative one. right? Because if you stand there and argue with them, will they ever come to church?
No.
But if you show respect and you hand that to them, hey, I'd like to give you an invite to our church. My name is Andrew, and we're just out inviting people to church. And they say, thank you, but I don't have time right now. Hey, that's all right. Hope you have a good night. And you just turn around and leave. At least they know you at least respect their time and their property. Okay? And I don't know what's going to happen with that track. I don't know if they're going to read it. I don't know if they're going to put it in a drawer. But at least they know, hey, those people weren't mean. They weren't rude. When I asked them to leave, they left. Right? So make sure when you're... Give me that back. Now, if they give you some time to talk about the church and you see that they're actually listening, you know, they're not looking over their shoulder, you know, they're not looking at their watch or whatever, then you can spend time talking, okay? You know, if you can see that they're, you know, and again, I'm going to be honest with you, right? In much of the time that we go out knocking on doors, we don't get to spend a lot of time talking to people, right? And that's why we have these. That's the purpose of these, right? Because we're not going to get to spend a lot of time. We're probably going to only have 30 seconds to 2 minutes max, right? That's about it before you either figure out they want you to leave or they're going to listen to what you have to say, right? And so that's why you just know, hey, my name is Andrew. I'm from First Baptist Church. And by the way, it's important to say who you are, right? If you're giving it to somebody, let them know, hey, I'm from First Baptist Church, because a lot of times if you go to their door, who do they think you are? Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, unless you've got a white shirt and black pants, you're probably not a Mormon, but, you know, they're already thinking you're some type of religious cult, all right? So you're trying to put them at ease. My name's Andrew, I'm from First Baptist Church, and I'd like to give you an invite to come to our church sometime. And that's it, that's all I'm going to say. Now, if they take it and they still stand there and they're still going to talk or whatever, then I can ask them some other questions. You know, hey, do you go to church anywhere? You do? Okay, great, right? So, you go to church, that's great. Where do you go?
Right.
You go right here on your doorstep, that's great. Yeah, your doorstep is your church. Okay, that's great. I've heard a lot of things like that, yeah. So, if they still stay there, right, then you can be able to actually try to start a conversation with them, right? Here's the thing we've got to understand. The best way to win somebody to Christ is to build a relationship. Most of the time, you're not going to be able to lead somebody to the Lord just right off the bat. Again, they don't know you. They don't know where you're from. You know, unless God's just really working in their heart and in their life, right? And especially you look at our society today, you know, I think on Thursday, you know, people are saying, you know, one of the things that people are noticing on a lot of doors now is these Ring doorbells, yeah. Right? They have the video cameras. So you can look on your phone or whatever, you can see who's there, and you just don't even have to go and answer the door, right? And so we're getting into a society in a day where people don't even want to answer the door. And you can even know they're there, right? I mean, you can knock on the door. You hear them arguing inside. You hear the TV. You hear the kids. You knock on the door. They will not come, right? So what do you do?
Leave the
track on the door, right? You just leave the track, okay? Again, it's not about, again, we want to talk to people and we want people to be saved. There's no doubt about it. But one of the things that a track does is it brings exposure to who you are. It brings exposure to the church, right? That's why we have the church name and information, everything on there, right? Because they may not come that Sunday. They may not come a month of Sundays. But hopefully, maybe when they start thinking about a church to go to sometime in their life, they remember, hey, there was that church that came and, you know, I didn't have the time of day for them, but at least they were respectful, they were kind, they left a track, and I think it was that one up by McDonald's, they said, or something, and they'll start looking, and hopefully they'll be able to find us, right? So again, and that's why most of the time in trying to lead somebody to the Lord, it's going to be from developing a relationship with that person over a period of time, okay? When you look in Scripture, most of the time, those people that came to know the Lord, what was it? It was friends bringing their friends to the Lord, right? Friends bringing friends, okay? And so that's why it's so important to be able to develop relationships and friendships with people, because that's how you're going to really be able to share the gospel with them, okay? If you're able to, and we'll talk more about this probably next week as well, but if somebody is able to spend some time at the door with you, right, and you're saying, hey, my name is Andrew, I'm from First Baptist Church, we'd just like to give you an invite to come to church sometime, and they take it and they're still there, you can ask them, you know, questions like, do you go to church anywhere? And it's amazing some of the responses that you get, you know. Yeah, I go to church. Oh, really? What church? I can't remember the name of it right now. You probably don't go to church very often then, right? You know, but you'll get all kinds of responses, okay? And you're not trying to say that their church is bad, that they're going to, or anything like that. That's not what you're trying to do. Our purpose is to just try to share the gospel with them. And if it comes into the conversation, right, where, you know, they're still there and you can see they're giving you a little bit of time, here's a question, and I want you to write this question down, but here's a question that you can ask them. Again, if they're willing to give you some time, okay, if they're not, just leave the track and leave, okay? But if they're willing to give you some time, here's the question that I want that you can ask them, okay? Before I leave, this is what you can say. Before I leave, I want to ask you a question that you've probably never been asked before. Now, why would I say it like that? It piques their interest. It makes them curious. A question I've never been asked before. Okay, you know, what could that be, right? So before I leave, I'd like to ask you a question that you've probably never been asked before. Are you 100% sure, if you died today, that heaven would be your home? Right? So before I leave, I want to ask you a question that you've probably never been asked before. Are you 100% sure, if you died today, that heaven would be your home? Now, based off of the answer to that question, is going to be how you're going to proceed in giving the gospel, right? And we're going to talk more about that next week, okay? But I want you to really not memorize it and like verbatim, but I want you to use that and know how to bring that question out, you know? Hey, you know, I'm very thankful that you've given me some time here, and I appreciate it. You've been very kind. But before I leave, could I ask you a question that you've probably never been asked before? You've got to make it your own, okay? I'm telling you the question, but you've got to make it your own, okay? If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that heaven would be your home? Now, if they say yes, then there's some other questions you can ask. If they say no, I'm not, then what do you think you should say next? Could I show you how you can know that? I mean, if they're going to be honest and say, no, I'm not sure, what, could I take the Word of God and show you how you can know that? Right? Again, that's the whole purpose of what we're doing. We're trying to get the gospel to them. We're trying to share Christ with them. Okay? All right, so let's do this. I need, let's see, I had a couple of people last week share their testimonies. And again, we're trying to make sure we want to share a testimony within like 2 minutes, right? Within 2 minutes, okay? So do I have any volunteers? Any volunteers? Because you will share your testimony. I'm just saying, all right? You will share your testimony, okay? All right, Jimmy? Okay? So you got 2 minutes. Stand up, tell it to them, not me. You wrote it down? Okay, great.
I tried to do it in the sense of talking to a lost person so they'd kind of understand what we mean, not using the Christian, so to speak, terms. But before I came to trust Jesus Christ to save me, I thought I was doing all right. I was baptized in a church. I prayed this prayer, and I was living a good life. When we came to my current church, I learned that none of those things can get me into heaven. All I had to do was trust Jesus alone and ask Him to save me from my sin and hell and death for salvation, and I did that. on November 8th, 2019, and my life has never been the same. I've had hard times since then, and I've done some pretty bad things, but because I have Jesus Christ in my life, I can always go to the Lord, and there is no greater joy, nothing on earth, that could come close to the awesomeness of serving the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, very good. Good job. All right, somebody else? All right, Miss Rachel, let me get back there real quick. Right? Tell it to them.
Okay.
You got to be loud for everybody.
All right. By age 7, I can really clearly recall learning lots of lessons by making bad choices. I lied about eating bacon bits, and it was the silliest thing to lie about because I wouldn't have been in trouble. They just wanted to know who got into them. But I got a spanking for that. And I remember getting mad about not getting my way about something, and me and my friend Krista packed our suitcases and ran away. We made it about a half mile from the house when we got caught by some folks from our church. My mom says out of all her girls, and there were 5 of us, I got the most spankings. I had a lot to be upset about. My childhood was pretty painful, so I was angry, and I let those anger feelings get out by disobeying a lot and being a stinker. At age 7, I was watching a Billy Graham crusade on TV. Billy Graham was a preacher who traveled around the U.S. from the 60s to about maybe 2000s. He had big, giant meetings in big arenas, and they'd put them on television. And I was watching Billy Graham, and he talked about sin and that it separates us from God, and I knew I was a sinner. I felt convicted about lying and running away and disobeying and throwing fits and beating my sister up at night when my mom couldn't hear us. And so I felt convicted about those things, and I knew I was a sinner. And when he said that Jesus had died on the cross to pay the punishment for my sins, I knew I needed a Savior. I prayed to ask Jesus to be my personal Savior. I was not able to totally clean up my act immediately. There was still a lot of trauma in my childhood that I would face, but I wanted to obey the Lord and my mom and do better. I also know that without him as my personal Savior, I don't know how I would have survived the trauma in my childhood. Because I had him, I knew I was never alone. I could cry out to him on the worst days at the worst moments. And when my own sister ended her life in suicide, I found enormous hope in the promise of heaven that no matter how bad this life gets, I know how my story ends. I get to be with my Savior and my sister, who also received Jesus as Savior during her childhood.
Okay, very good. That's great. All right, somebody else? Who else? All right, Miss Leah. Everybody's like, I just want to get it done and over with.
Yep. Hi, my name's Leah. I grew up in a Christian home and basically thought of myself as a good little girl. I went to public school, and so all of the people there pretty much treated me like I was a good little girl. So it took me a while to think about myself as being a sinner. I was in my early teens, and God really started working in my heart. I just didn't have a peace, and I just was really struggling. The church that I grew up in maybe had some rules, I guess, that I just wasn't comfortable with, but God was still working on my heart. And anyway, when I was 17, I was in my room. I didn't really have anybody that was with me to lead me to the Lord, but I knew what I needed to do, and I was in my room, and I found a spot in the corner of my closet, and I just prayed and asked the Lord to be my Savior. And honestly, after that, I did have a peace in my heart, but I did not grow. It took me, I was just kind of stagnant Christian, and then I started coming to First Baptist Church and learned more and was able to grow in the Lord, and it's just been a blessing ever since then. He's helping me to walk with the Lord and to know that he's with me all the time.
Very good. All right. Somebody else? Who else? All right, Julie. Tell them.
My name is Julie, and I grew up in a Christian family. Mom and Dad brought us to church regularly. They taught us the Bible, like, from as long as I can remember. It wasn't until I was 7 or 8 years old, though, that I realized I was missing something in my life and I wanted to be saved, which I'll tell you what that means. My mom she took the Bible and she was showing me that I was a sinner. I had done bad things. I lied. I don't know if I'd stolen at that point, but I had disobeyed, and I had broken God's law, and I needed to be saved from that sin. And the Bible showed that I would go to hell if I was not saved from that. But God, the Bible shows that God sent his son, Jesus, down to earth to die for us on the cross, and he rose up 3 days later, and he died for us. So I would not have to go, if I believed, I would not have to go to hell. But I had to believe and to call on him, and I did. That night I did, but I doubted it. Did I have the right motivation? Did I do it right? Was it even true? And it was until I was 27 years old, I realized, like, I know that God's not a liar. This Bible is true. Mm-hmm. And so this is what it says, and I'm gonna believe that. And I called on him again just to make sure. And now he's changed me. He's helping me become more like him. And he gives me hope and purpose, and he can change you too.
Very good. Good job. All right.
So again, sharing your testimony, and again, I hope if you didn't write it out this past week like you were supposed to, if you didn't write it out, make sure to write that out. And did anybody actually write it like on a separate piece of paper, or did you just write it in your book? Right? All right. If you wrote it on a separate piece of paper, I'd like for you to turn that in, okay? I don't want your books, okay? But, yes, ma'am.
I left mine at home. I did it.
You left it at home? Okay, you can give it to me some other time, right? If you did not write it, if you did not write your testimony, or you wrote it in your actual book, okay? I want you to write it out this week if you haven't written it. If you wrote it in your book, please, I should have specified that last week, but rewrite it on a separate sheet of paper so next week you can give it to me. I want to have those. And then, so make sure you have the testimonies. Yes, sir?
Can we need to make it eligible handwriting?
You can make it eligible. That's, it's legible. You can make it legible. Yes, please make sure I can read it. Make sure I can read it, right? Yes. Yeah, you can email it. Yeah. No, I'd rather have your name on it. Yes. Please put your name on it so I know whose it is, right? Okay. All right. So if you have those today on a separate piece of paper, right after class is done, you can just come put them up here on the table, whatever you call this thing, whatever this thing is, all right? Two things. How many of you still have your track? Everybody should, right? Everybody should have your track. So here's your assignment this week. Give it out. You've got your track. You've got one. That's all I'm asking you to do. In 7 days, just take this one track that you have, give it to somebody. What are you going to say? You can say your name, or you can just say, hi, can I give you something? Or can I give you something to read? Whatever. But somewhere, sometime this week, right? And don't all go to Walmart tonight, 50 of you go to Walmart and try to give it to the same person. No. So find somebody through, your walk of life, right? And take that track and just say, hi, can I give you something to read? Or can I give this to you? If they ask you what it is, it's just an invitation to our church that we'd like to invite you to come to, right? And if they take it, assignment over. If they reject it and they say, no, thank you, guess what? You still got to give it out. You got to find somebody to give it out to, right? So even if somebody says no, find somebody else to give it out to. Yes, ma'am? You don't want my email address? Yeah, it's pastor@fbceaton.com. Yep. 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 pastor@fbceaton.com, right? So everybody has one of the tracks. Make sure to give those out, right? Here's the second assignment, right? Guess what this Sunday is? It's Fifth Sunday Fellowship, and the focus of the testimonies is on how we got saved, how we were saved. So I expect to see a lot of people from this class getting up and within 2 minutes telling people in the church how you got saved.
Does that count right? Towards credit for this class?
I tell you what, if you have not done it yet in here and you do it over there, it will count. Absolutely. It will count. Right? Right? Now, again, it's just simply, now, obviously in that setting, guess what most of the people are going to be?
Christians.
Christians, right? So, again, your testimony is going to be either to save people or to lost people, right? There's going to be 2 points to it. So, you're going to tell, again, there's 3 points to it. I was lost. This is how I came to know the Lord. And now this is what God is doing, okay? So Sunday, when we have our testimony time, there should be a line. There should be a line, right? Okay? And can I say this? And you can ask anybody that was here, they might that has already said it, they might say, well, yeah, I was a little nervous. But did anybody here think negative toward the person who was giving their testimony?
No.
Nobody thought negative, right? So get that out of your mind. Well, if I get up there, they're going to think badly of me. I'm not going to say the right words, or I'm not going to say it right. It's your testimony. It's not anybody else's. It's yours. Okay? Nobody's going to think negative of you. They just want to know how you came to know the Lord. I think it's awesome, right? How many knew that Julie, at 7 years of age, prayed, but then wasn't really sure, and then at 27? And then at 27, made sure that she was saved. Did anybody else know that? Isn't that nice to know? Isn't that pretty cool to hear how God saved her? Miss Rachel, that was a pretty cool testimony, right? To be able to hear how God saved her and, you know, now she's not naughty anymore. You know, that's great. She's not a stinker. That's right. Yeah. You know, so again, people, especially Christians, we ought to enjoy hearing how other people came to know the Lord. That's one of the most exciting stories that I can listen to when somebody says is how they came to know the Lord. So don't think that people are going to criticize you or make fun of you or anything. Not at all. Not at all. Right? So those are your assignments. Don't forget them. Get them done. You're dismissed.